United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Claudia. Okay.
Claudia, if you could call the roll, appreciate it.
Joy Bingham.
Present.
Stephanie Capetta.
Present.
Mary Giraulo.
Here.
Dennis Hurley.
Present.
Julius Kwiatkowski.
Here.
Eleanor Milberg. Robert Witte. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. First item we have, and for the public at the end, we'll hear from you if you have anything to say. We go through our agenda first. You're welcome to listen, of course. We also have two new members that we want to hear from in a little while. But next, we want to go to the next part of the agenda, which is approving the minutes from our last meeting. And has everybody read the minutes? And any questions? Do we have a motion?
So moved to approve.
We have a motion to approve. Any second?
Second.
Second by Jules. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That's one aye, so that passes.
I'd be happy to approve. I just wasn't present.
It's all right. It's fine.
I believe you don't have to be present to approve the minutes. It's just what they are as written. I wasn't present either, but I've read them, I guess.
I read them. They're okay.
Okay.
No, that makes more sense. Okay.
This is one of our better parts of the meeting. We have now discussion by the director on matters not on the agenda, and that's Luann, who is the director of Recreation and Parks, who's going to give us a little update.
Nothing, no. Where to start? We'll start with the projects first. As you all know, Holland Park is well under construction. They started February 2nd. And if you've driven past recently, you've noticed that it is completely torn up. And so they are well on their way. The expectation is about a year from now or thereabouts, we'll be reopening to a brand new park at Holland Park. So little bit of, inconvenience for a while, but for permanent long-term good. So stay tuned. Upcoming programs that we have going on. Coming up this Friday, we have our movie in the park. It's our kickoff to the season of movies in the park at Central Park. Jules, if we could get mosquito spraying.
This week?
Yep.
This weekend?
Thursday night. Thursday. Tomorrow.
Okay, I'll give my email.
Cool. Thank you. But anyhow, we're showing Planes, Fire, and Rescue. And with that, because it is our kickoff night, we're having a pre-movie event where we have confirmed participation with our Palm Coast Fire Department, the Flagler County Sheriff's K-9 Unit, and the Emergency Services Fire Flight. So really cool. It starts at 5. Fire Flight is going to, they're going to have their water bucket, that they use for forest fires. They're going to fill it up and then come over. And as they come over Central Park, they're going to drop the bucket of water into the lake. Then they're going to land, and then they're going to let everybody check out the helicopter, talk to the pilot, and then they're going to take off from there. And then they'll be there for about 2.5 hours. Palm Coast Fire Department will have their interactive trailer, the firehouse where the kids and everybody can go through and see what it's like when you're actually going through a fire. They will also set up a little photo booth area so you can dress as a firefighter and take a picture or get a picture with the firefighter. And then the K-9 unit will do a demonstration, two demonstrations. I believe 6:30 and 7. So that pre-event will happen from 5 to 7:30, and then we start the movie about 7:45 that night. And then, as I said, that'll kick off our season where we hold the monthly movies at Central Park on the second Friday of every month, weather permitting. After that, we have our Food Truck Tuesday on Tuesday, March 17th. So we'll have about 10 different food trucks out at Central Park, some activities for the kids, some music. It's a really nice evening over there at the park, and you could enjoy dinner and the atmosphere. March 21st is our NCCAA sports clinic. And this is when we have partnered with the National Christian College Athletic Association. They bring in their coaches from their participating colleges and their student athletes and instruct whoever wants to participate, kids ages 6 to 16, in a variety of different sports. Chick-fil-A is also a partner. They bring lunch for all those participating, and it's all done free of charge. For everybody who registers. We do that at Indian Trail Sports Complex and at the Palm Harbor Golf Club, and you should pre-register just so we have enough space. The week of spring break, we have our spring break camp March 23rd to the 27th. Also that week, we will have our lifeguard certification class for those who would like to consider lifeguarding as a career. Or at least a summer job. So from that class, we usually are able to hire some of the guards for our pool for the summer and then hopefully retain those kids next year and the year after that, too. And then in addition to all these activities, we have our regular programs, our lunch and lecture, which is coming up March. I can't remember the date of that.
I think it's the 18th.
March 18th.
Yeah.
Of course, nothing opens. Yeah. March 18th with our topic of healthy spine, healthy body. And this is our guest speakers from Florida Hospital Flagler. That's at 10:30 or 11 a.m. here. Pre-registration is required, and we do provide lunch along with that speaker. We have our kids' activities, and I do a list of those in our weekend review published every Friday. That if you would like to get on that email distribution list, we'll be certainly happy to get you on there so you can get it as well and see everything that's happening in the city. Okay, that's it.
Great. Any questions for Luann? Thank you, Luann. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Discussion by the report by committee members on events and programs attended. This is relatively new. Last 4 or 5 meetings, we decided that as an advisory board, we need to get out a little more, find out what's going on, kind of report our vibes to our fellow members on the committee about what is going on and what we saw and what we liked and maybe some constructive criticism. And so every meeting, we encourage our members here on the board to get out the next couple of months. We're meeting every other month. Within the next 2 months to see a lot of the events, whether it's children, adults, seniors, whether it's the bike trails, whether it's just looking at Holland Park and reporting back what you think you see. It's all healthy, and it keeps us involved with the community. So especially for our newer members, it's important that you get involved and volunteer for special events in particular, but also see the programs and meet with the people and get a feel for what is going on. So we encourage that. So with that, I want to hear from anybody on this committee who's in the last 2 months has seen something worthwhile to talk about.
Can I report on... Okay, so I attended and volunteered for Birds of a Feather Fest, and that was an event put on by the city for families and for out-of-towners to experience the bird life in our area. And I thought it went amazingly well for a first year. And big thanks to Dennis for coming out and volunteering as well. It was sorely needed. We needed people to greet those at the beginner bird walk and let them know that they were welcome. And so that was, there were many attendees from out of town. We got people from Canada and from other states, and there were many people from the area that enjoyed the beginner bird walk and some of the other events. So success.
Okay. Choose anything? I think Mary's being modest. Her husband was the director of the whole weekend, the birding festival, and Mary was the secondhand person. I did volunteer for a couple of days. So many different events, either free or pay as you go, trips to Merritt Island, different things, a great guest speaker, renowned birder, on Friday night at the Hilton. It was just put together for the first time. This is the nascent voyage for this birding festival, and I'm sure there were a couple of little things, but overall it was fantastic. And I'm sure it's going to be an annual event, because people don't realize that in this area, we just don't have birds here. We got the intracoastal, we got the ocean, we got all kinds of different areas where you see many of the 400 birds in throughout Florida. So it was wonderful, and I'm sure we're going to have it again. So I'd like to give kudos to Mary and her husband, Jason.
Thank you.
Come on, a little better than that. All right, very good. But once again, for Joy and Stephanie, you know, we'd like you to get involved, as Jules has and I have and Mary has and a couple that aren't here, and just get out and get the feel and report back on what you think. It's wonderful, especially the special events. It really helps out the city staff with our special events. Okay, old business. Old business is our cultural arts grants. Our purpose with this is to receive the grants, send out the information, have a seminar of how to fill out the forms, receive all the applications by February, I think it was 25th, and then we review them at this meeting. We all have copies. We've looked at them. We're going to comment on them. And there's been six this year. Sometimes there's more, but this year is six that we are going to review right now. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mary, because she's a bona fide grants specialist.
All right. There were six applications, and this is the second cycle of two. So it's adding on to how many did we have in the first cycle?
Six.
So ultimately, right. I think it's a pretty good showing. Some of these are new applicants, and some are repeats. So we're familiar with some of them. I think maybe we start with the ones that are pretty familiar. Do we have them? Everybody have your information in alphabetical order? Because I think we can go that way. Okay, so Ancient City Pipes, starting with A. I love that this organization was giving back already. Is anybody here from that organization? No.
Mary, if I could just interject for our new members here. The role of Leisure Services in evaluating the grant applications is for eligibility purposes only. So what you guys are doing is reviewing, and based on the criteria and the guidelines that we have in place, determining whether or not these organizations are eligible to receive grant funding. Okay? So, you know, whatever it is that they're, promoting within their grant application, that program or activity, does it meet the criteria, and does it, you know, meet all the other things? You guys got the checklists for all the criteria that is needed, and basically, you know, it has to be either a yes or no, they do or they don't, okay?
Right, correct.
Exactly. But while we're looking at it, we can also look at possible changes for the grant program for future. So keep that in mind as well as we go. So with Ancient City Pipes, they were giving back already. They go to lots of city events and local events and perform for free. So that's a great first step for an organization, is giving back before asking for money. But they're asking for funds for a vehicle. And typically that would be something that's not allowed in grant programs, which is a capital expense. It's not a building, but a capital expense includes big pieces of equipment like a vehicle. And that's, to my thought, not eligible, but I'll be interested to know what others think. This grant is supposed to be for cultural events, so that's, they're not asking for a cultural event. They're asking for something that they can take to cultural events. And also, their idea for asking for the vehicle is to reach new members, but there are other ways to do that, including handing out flyers when they're performing at local events. So there are other better ways to reach new members. Other thoughts on Ancient City Pipes?
Actually, I'll kind of share your opinion, because when I was looking through the information, it was very clear that they were asking to purchase a vehicle. And although I like the idea of the Pipes, I know that they volunteer their time and services, and I think that's wonderful, I didn't really interpret it, even as a first-timer, that it was really eligible for the cultural aspect of it. So I would agree with you, Mary.
My comment is they are a charitable entity. Their purpose is wonderful, meaning they just want to have this mobile unit for storage, for marketing, for advertising, for recruitment, and bring it to all these special events that they don't charge for. But I also agree. It's $7,000 is what they think their cost is, and they're asking for $3,000, and we're not the money people here, but I'm sure they can get a vehicle from somebody else to support that end of it, and maybe for the advertising for a certain special events throughout the city throughout the year, maybe if they formed it that way, I'd be more inclined to agree. But I agree with both of you.
I think another thing that needs to be added is that as a first-time applicant, sometimes it's hard to imagine what someone can apply for a grant, what kind of project would be eligible for a grant. So it sounds to me like, this being a first proposal that I've seen anyway, it sounds like they just don't know how to package a program for a grant application. So I would recommend for them to talk to us about, you know, possible projects that they can do. The staff may be able to help them through that, or, you know, we may be able to consult with them about existing things that they're doing. It's not necessarily that they would need to create a project, but there may be something that they're already doing that we can, you know, package as a grant application that would be, you know, eligible for funding.
One of the other things that I noticed is that they wanted the vehicle, and they were saying it was for membership, to gain more membership and community awareness. I would like to see in this process a better description of how they intended to obtain the membership. Mm-hmm. So to your point, and this is, I'm getting to a question here, taking me a minute. Is there another body or entity, group of people that we can direct people like this to help them write a grant application, or do they come to us and we help them?
I think we've talked about the members being available if there's a particular applicant that needs help. It's mostly through the staff. Is that right, Luann? But we've talked about additional help if needed.
Right. What we do... And this is the first year we've actually done two rounds of grant funding, because we only had the six applications initially, so we had a large pot of money left that we wanted to distribute to the other organizations in the community. So this is the first time we've done a second round. Typically, how we do the grant process is that before we do the first round, which is usually over the summer, we host a... grant workshop, basically. So we let everybody know, we do some advertising, you know, and we, all the, anybody who wants to come in and hear about the grant and what it's for and part of the process can come in and participate or sit in and listen to that discussion. Typically, at least the last couple years, and Mary's been a big part of that and leading that grant discussion, I think it's been good, and if anybody's attended, you can weigh in as well. But I think part of the value of that is that those organizations get to talk to each other and learn from each other, too, not just from us. Mm-hmm. And while we offer to help, a lot of times just having somebody else in the community that has done grant applications is a great resource for others to know and realize that these people are here in our community and there is some help out there. So we go through the application, the process. You know, we don't necessarily get into how to fill it out, but Mary will make recommendations of what to include. You know, supporting documentation, you know, what to include in the write-up a little bit, you know, to provide some guidance and assistance. And then typically after that, where we get most of the questions is the budget. And how do we fill out this budget form and, you know, that kind of stuff is where we find the questions come. And then we'll help either myself or Claudia, depending on what question they might have, and then we'll help them with that part of the application as well.
Okay.
And it's more or less just showing them where to put the information that we're requesting. So
was Patrick Giuliano or the business manager or any representative from the Ancient Pipes there?
No, we only did the one workshop in July, I believe it was, of last year.
Right.
And I do not recall him being a part of that meeting. So. Right. So this second round, we didn't do the meeting. We just opened it up, you know, for good or for bad. You know, we just didn't do it this
and
this
I think
round.
That talks to the point of how important that meeting is.
Mm-hmm.
For those who want to fill out the application, what we're really looking for, what they need to supply to us,
mm-hmm.
Without going to that workshop, they just say, oh, maybe I can get some money for a thing we want,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
And that's what happened.
Well, and even attendance here when you guys are evaluating them, and we encourage people to come if they call, just so they can, if you all have questions, you could actually ask the organization
right.
if they're in attendance and help clarify, but then also to hear the discussion and the questions you all have for clarity of what they're including on their application. And so, you know, I think it's all valuable for them to participate in. You know, it's just, you know, trying to get everybody to participate so at some level. So.
Okay. Well, it sounds like the resources are available,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is really what I was unsure
yeah.
of. So
yeah.
that sounds
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
For this particular applicant, they may be unsure, especially because they do free events. They show up for free at other events, so I'm not seeing where their revenue stream is or where they're even spending money. So they may not have expenses, you know, ready-made for an event. I don't know if they do a whole event, you know, just by themselves. So they're going to probably have to think through that and maybe ask for some ideas from the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so so are we saying eligible, not eligible at each?
Yeah, I think we should go one by one. So what's your recommendation?
I would say ineligible.
Okay, ineligible for the Ancient City Pipes.
Yep.
That's a motion. I guess that's a motion, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make them does it have to be a motion? No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mary's recommending that they be ineligible based on the process.
And I hope they apply again.
And we hope they apply again, right. Jules, what do you think?
I have to be honest with you. I haven't checked in on any of these because I have medical issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the only one I actually looked at was the Polonia Society of Corona, if they noticed my last name. So that's the one I was interested in.
Great.
But I'd like to see more ethnic groups
mm-hmm.
sign up for the grants, knowing that they're available.
For sure.
But I wish I could help you out more on this, but I can't.
Okay.
I'll second Mary's
recommendation
that they are ineligible.
Joy, any opinion?
No comment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I also approve of that recommendation. So as far as the Ancient City Pipes, we're saying that they're ineligible, but we encourage them to get into the process. Okay.
So City Repertory Theater, I loved that they're bringing a hometown playwright back to Palm Coast, so that sounds wonderful. I wish that they were a little more careful of the questions that are asked on the grant application. When they were asked for the grant amount, they said yes.
And they
put together a budget that was exactly $3,000, which anytime you're writing a grant, if the amount of the request, the max request, if you set your budget at exactly that amount, people will doubt that this is an actual set of expenses. So I would recommend that they base the cost on past programs. It probably costs more or less, but just to be watchful in future grant applications. I would love to see more information in this application. I didn't know what the play was about from reading the application, and there was no resume or credentials of the writers and actors. So that would have been good information to have in any grant application. What are you presenting? I did look it up. Did anybody else Google it?
I did.
Okay. So the play is called Committed, and it's about mental illness. So and it's meant to help communities talk about the topic of mental illness with compassion and awareness. So it seemed like a good project. It's a bunch of patients in a psychiatric clinic during the late 80s and their personal stories. So it's supposed to be humorous. So I'm sure it'll be a great play, and I'm glad that it's a local playwright. So all of that to say, I think it's eligible. So other thoughts?
I took notes on each one, and I had very few notes on this particular program. Regarding the number one and number two to meet eligibility to educate the public on the unique characteristics of a defined cultural group, and two, introduce a distinct traditional activity, event, or program of a defined cultural group. I did not pull that information
right.
related to a cultural group out of the information that they submitted. Obviously, it's promoting arts because it's a theater, a play. The program is a distinct play. I think it's wonderful that they have reached out to someone who graduated and grew up in this area. But just with the limited information that was provided, I actually was thinking more ineligible.
The four criteria there are meant either or. Like any of those items could be an event. So
okay.
To read them aloud, again, the educating the public on the unique characteristics of a defined cultural group, or introduce a distinct traditional activity, event, or program of a defined cultural group, or promote the arts and art appreciation through various media, including or not limited to, blah, 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 or present a new cultural activity, event, or program to the community. Because we've had a
okay.
bunch of theaters, a bunch of music groups, it's not really representative in this group, but we've had a bunch of choral productions that aren't a particular ethnicity that's being communicated, but it is a cultural activity. So
okay.
as long as it fits one of those four criteria, then it's eligible.
Okay, fantastic, because, I was being pretty hard-nosed.
That's what you're supposed to be.
So, yes, in that right. case, if it is an or, then, yes, I would definitely agree. It meets the points number three and four.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, with that new information, then they would be eligible, in my opinion.
I personally think not only does it fit the criteria, I think it's absolutely wonderful. Here's a 2003 graduate of Palm Coast, Flagler Palm Coast High School. And he teamed up with somebody, and they produced this musical, it says. I didn't know it was a musical on mental illness. That'd be interesting. But also that they, I think the way this proposal was written has a lot of flaws, as Mary pointed out, because they did not specify how the $3,000 would be spent. Reading through the literature, I know there's a licensing fee to have the production of $1,250 plus $125 per show if there's additional shows. I'm sure that's going to be part of it. But the repertory theater is just grassroots, and they're trying to get people to get involved with theater. And I think that's what the grant money should be going for. So I think this is wonderful. I approve of it.
And can I just add one comment regarding their budget? This is where the struggle is in the budget,
yeah.
is when they're putting in that this request. What they are putting there is, because they know the maximum is $3,000 of the grant,
right.
so they're putting in that $3,000 for this request because they know that's the maximum.
Yeah.
And I think that's our fault, ours being the department, because we haven't necessarily clarified. This request should actually include all those expenses that are eligible for grant funding, regardless of the limitation of the $3,000. And so that's our fault for not really explaining it well enough. And that's probably what we need to look at this year when we revise our form, is that budget, because it's very confusing. I don't think we do a very good job of explaining it to the applicant, and there's always questions with it. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out. I can't blame any of the organizations if their budgets, if that column isn't necessarily what you were looking at, and that's why they go to that $3,000.
Great, great.
Sounds
good.
So recommendations? Mary, recommendation. Joy, I'm sorry.
My one comment is I responded specifically to the subject and the content as being really relevant and timely, and presented in what I thought would be an interesting way.
Great.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a wonderful project that I think also fits into the criteria of the proposals. So I'm in favor. Anybody not in favor? Okay, so they're eligible. They will pass.
Great. So moving on to Flagler Auditorium. Their organization does many things across their season every year, so it's easy to see the benefit that they're offering. The one thing that I would point out in their application is that their budget, the budget that they presented for their, they compared their previous fiscal year to the coming budget, as well as the project budget and their entire organization budget, but that was contradictory to the 990 that was included in the application. So just consistency across financial documents to make sure that the panel doesn't think you're using old documents in one place or another. It's important. But other than that, pretty good.
I thought it was very, I think it's okay, but it was, once again, maybe our fault, it was very general.
Yeah.
I mean, calendar year, their budget is $552,700, 20 to 25,000 attendees, but they did not answer the question, why is funding from the city essential? They didn't really answer that. And they want to use it for cost of production, purchasing show, marketing, equipment rental, ticketing costs. Yeah, that's part of a whole general budget. But although not specific, they are an integral part of what we are here in Palm Coast as far as cultural arts, so I have no problem with it.
I would agree, just in going through this process for the first time, that it was very general. You know, one of my notes was that they are supporting 29 theater productions, which is wonderful. Totally and completely support their efforts. But just in the budget form and understanding how it all goes together and whatnot, it seemed a little vague. But I think they would be eligible, and we would all certainly benefit from it.
I was looking for, if they didn't receive a grant, how the grant enhanced what they were doing, why they needed it. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I agree with you that it is a valuable program.
Right, Joy. That was my biggest problem. Why is it essential that they get this up to $3,000 when they have such a big, expansive program? They didn't answer that question. But once again, this is what the workshop's all about. That's what we'll be talking about, to maybe steer them to really answer that in a better way. But I approve. Anybody disapprove? Okay, so Flagler Auditorium meets the criteria.
Dennis, may I ask a somewhat related question? What is the... I know we're just making recommendations, but do we know what the pool of grant money available is? And are we able to recommend, say, that in this case, Flagler Auditorium were to receive $2,000 instead of $3,000 because there was that question on why it is essential? Or do we just strictly eligibility only?
Yes. The total amount is allocated each year during the city council budget process. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this past year, for the current fiscal year that we are in, there was $30,000 total allocated for cultural arts financial assistance grants.
Okay.
We did the first round, and I believe we distributed around half of it, maybe a little bit less or more at that time. So then we had at least, you know, around half of it left, which is why we went with the second round of funding. With the eligibility, you guys are just determining eligibility. There's a max a grant award of $3,000 for each group, but that max award is all based on the funds that are actually available. So while these, if all six groups put in for the max, that's $18,000. We may not have $18,000 available for funding, mm-hmm. so then they will get that portion of $12,000 that's left divided among those six organizations. So while they request, it really depends on those types of factors as well. But okay. you all don't specifically say they get $1,000 or $500, you know.
Okay.
It's just eligibility.
Okay. Thank you.
I know, long explanation. Sorry.
So Flagler County Art League is doing going undercover, and I forget the name of the anybody have the name of the event? It was a very interesting name.
And we have members here if they have any questions. Yes.
The title of the program is Going Undercover, Rescuing the World's Stolen Treasures.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a very interesting presentation about art and art history. So that sounds wonderful to me. I didn't really have anything more to say about it. I think it's eligible, so I just other thoughts.
I thought it met eligibility on all four points, not just the oars.
I think it's wonderful. Not only will he be speaking on April 7th, they hope to fill the Flagler Auditorium 600-some-odd seats.
Don't forget to come.
Yeah.
yeah. But also, he's going to be available for the high school students during the day, and I think that's one. That's part of the educational mm-hmm. process also.
Three heavy kids are expected.
Beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
That's great.
Oh.
Is there a fee for attendance?
For the evening, yes.
Yes.
I have no problem approving this.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think this is eligible.
Does anybody disapprove? Okay. Available and meet the criteria. Eligible, I mean, meet the criteria.
So Friends of the Library is also here, in case we have questions. And they're bringing in a piece of public art that the city approached them about. And it's Imagine with one of the letters removed so that people can stand in it or take pictures in it or anything. So it's very imaginative, obviously. And I loved that. It is a sculpture from out of town. I'd love to see more public art here and more opportunities for local artists as well. I do wish that there was more information about the artist in the proposal. Just to see the artist's resume or the artist's bio would be interesting, because a piece of public art, you know, you learn something about the art and what the intention was from learning about the artist and their other projects. So that was the only thing that I thought could have been added. But I think it's eligible.
I think it's art. I think it's interpretive. It's going to be so many people going to witness mm-hmm. it and be present. It's also going to show off the library and also our town center, because it'll be on the lake for 1 month also. We'll get a lot of visitors out of curiosity, as they did in Australia and other places. And Boca Raton, is from what I read, I think it's a very interesting art piece, and I think it beats all the criteria.
I like that it's an interactive display and that it has traveled around. I agree with Mary that I wish that there was more information. But Ronald, if I can ask, do you know what the intention is on how to market this to bring in folks from other areas that would bring them into Palm Coast to see this display?
Well, it's my understanding that National Library Week is during the month of October. And if I understand, the library director is going to have a theme that's going to be wrapped up with this art display.
Very cool.
Okay. And I think the important thing is, like, as the chair said, the city of Palm Coast approached us to do this, okay? And I think what's also important is that there'll be a lot of people behind this. I mean, first of all, you have the library staff. Mm-hmm. You have the Friends Volunteers, which is about 100 people. And then we have the membership organization, which is 800 people that support the library. And as I mentioned earlier, the library is one of the most frequently visited places in the city. Between 500 to 700 people pass through those doors every day. And as I was mentioning, every day we have to have volunteers to put the things back on the shelves, and it's an enormous task. Am I answering your question?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, so I don't know that much about it, but I do know that where it has been, even around the world, it has attracted a lot of attention. And I know the library director is going to, at this point, I can't think of the theme, it's something to do with the library, and she's going to wrap it around the whole exhibit. So I think it's going to be a very powerful event in the city of Palm Coast.
And not only that, it's temporary.
I'm sorry?
This is temporary. It's not going to be installed and be there forever. It's just a temporary project.
Right. Well, as we know, it will be 1 month in front of the library and 1 month out there at the town center.
Right.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine it going further than that.
Yeah.
Sorry. I had to use that.
No, I think it's a wonderful idea. I'll come to you. I think it's a wonderful idea. I just would like to see that we take full advantage not only of this particular program but others like yours bringing in the speaker, that we are reaching out to communities, you know, surrounding communities, so that we're pulling in people from, you know, St. Augustine or Daytona or DeLand or wherever, you know, into Palm Coast, you know, because then that's going to have, you know, dinners and evenings out and whatnot. So I just was curious about how we're marketing things.
I think with the international reputation of the exhibit, we will probably pull people into the community from outside the community.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think what's very important here, it was told to me, this is an opportunity for the city of Palm Coast and the library to be linked. We've been thinking about this for years. By state law, the library is funded by the county.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, the county is the city of Palm Coast. That's the majority of you. So the majority of the patrons who are getting the advantage of the library, they are citizens of Palm Coast. So I know the library director and the Friends, our organization, we look at this as an opportunity to perhaps link more closely with the city of Palm Coast. And so I think that's another advantage of this. And again, the city came to us.
Yeah. No, I think it's very imaginative. I think it'll draw people in from outside areas and completely meets the eligibility criteria.
Yeah. Any other questions? Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Andy Lucia, president of the Pocahontas Art League, and I think this was started by Tom Gargiulo. Tom Gargiulo from the Gargiulo Art Foundation.
Yes.
And he's been responsible for all this public art that we see in Palm Coast, whether it's Waterfront Park or, by the
Panther
Bridge or whatever.
Yeah.
This is just a wonderful project. We are way behind this. One of the things the Art League did was a couple of years ago got together with two or three other arts organizations and tried to create an alliance, a countywide alliance, arts and culture alliance. And we have like 50 organizations that the TDC is kind of heading up. And I've been working with the county to try to get the county more involved in the arts. Palm Coast has done a good job with this. Maybe a little bit more money would be good. But you guys have been on the forefront of supporting the arts, and we appreciate that. We're trying to get the county on board with this, and they're gradually moving in that direction. And I think this is a wonderful thing, but the TDC is the chamber, the county, together. So I think we're moving together with this alliance, with whether it's the African American Cultural Society, so the cultural groups, arts groups, the choral society, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we can support that. And so can the Art League. I think, you know, whatever you do, we're together with that. We want to say that the arts are really, really important to the county and to the city. And if, you know, the beaches and bike trails are phenomenal, but the arts and culture are really important as well. If you don't have the whole package, people aren't going to buy a house or start a business here. So it's the economic benefits. And if you want to go to America for the arts, the studies that they've done about the economic benefits of the arts, it's really, really important. You know that, Mary.
I do.
I certainly agree with that. Now, I've been with the Friends of the Library since 1998, when the library was in the Palm Harbor Shopping Center, and I started out putting books on the shelf. I'm not too old for that. It's hard work. But I think what's important, when I started in 1998, quite honestly, we didn't have, I would say, total support from the county. Today, all five commissioners are behind the library completely, and they're giving us their full support. And again, I'd like to emphasize, you know, when the city again came to us, this, we're all looking to see how we can bring the city a little closer to the library, because again, the majority of patrons of the library are the city of Palm Coast, even though it is funded by the county.
Okay.
I thank you for your support.
No, really. And
okay.
We're working with the city, too, our international festival.
Right.
That's great. Thanks.
Thank you. So it's not just the Friends of the Library. And I think, to your point, anything that's art-related in this whole city area, interrelated, so you will help push this issue, too, and advertise. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And we can really
wonderful.
Do this.
Yeah. That's
wonderful.
I'll pass that
great.
On. Thank you.
Please.
Great question. Any problems with this proposal? Does anyone disapprove of this proposal? Okay, it meets the criteria, so that has passed.
Thank you.
And the final one is Polonia Society of Corona. Now, they didn't include a budget, unless I missed that. I did see that the request was for $2,000, and they sort of said it in narrative what they were asking for. So I sort of get to the idea that it would be $2,000, but sort of uncomfortable with not having a budget. They also didn't include any information on the dancers themselves, any bio of the group or resumes of the dancers themselves, work sample, a video clip or something. But I'm assuming it's similar to what's been presented at International Festival in the past?
They would be, from what it sounds like, they would be bringing in people outside of their organization to
perform.
And
that hasn't been done in the past.
And no, in the past, they've been the ones that have performed at the event.
Okay.
So, yeah, this would be something different. Mm-hmm. I do want to just say, though, that for this cycle of grant funding, that event is outside of the cycle. So it goes fiscal year, which is October 1 to September 30th. Our international festival is October 3rd of next fiscal year.
So they need to come into the next grant application in August.
Right,
would it be?
Yeah. I didn't know what they were looking at doing, and when I read that the international festival, I was like, well,
oops.
You know,
just over the line.
Right, yeah. And that's that, like, you know, 3 days basically over the deadline. So,
I learned something from this one. They're a 501c7, and I've only dealt with 501c3s, but they're tax exempt. It's just a tax exempt social club instead of a tax exempt nonprofit. Interesting.
Comment I have is, when you go to the International Festival, they're the most lively group there.
They are.
They encourage people to come to their booth and have some beer and have some fun. I think it's wonderful.
And dance.
Right. Is there an issue with Corona and Bunnell as their office of business address.
That could be too. We it has to be a Palm Coast organization hosting an event in Palm Coast.
Right.
I thought the event was in Palm Coast,
and the
address of
was in
the
Palm
office
Coast.
Was a Palm Coast
okay.
address.
Yeah. As long as they meet that criteria, then that's yep. it.
Well, the mailing address is to a specific person in Palm Coast. They list the organization at Highway 100 in Bunnell. So is that something we have to address to the, with them before they apply for the next wave?
We will.
Okay.
I looked them up on the GuideStar database, which uses the IRS information, and it was a Palm Coast address. Okay. So it really they may have multiple addresses, and sometimes, especially organizations that don't have a building, they may use one board member or another board member, and multiple, maybe across county lines. So I'm pretty sure it's Palm Coast from what I saw.
So in essence, we're saying they're not eligible for this go-around, but we encourage them to apply for the next wave, next fiscal year for this for the
exactly.
grants.
Right. And we'll encourage them to come into the training, the meeting that we have.
And to include a budget.
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, in summary then, we have proposed that four are eligible to move on to the City Council as recommended by our advisory board, Leisure Services Advisory Council, and that's the Repertory Theater, Flagler Auditorium, Flagler Art League, and Friends of the Library. Ancient Pipes, we said, is ineligible, and Polonia Society, we just encouraged them to re-enter for the next fiscal year. I need a motion for what I just said.
So moved.
So moved, just what I said, Claudia.
Got it.
Need a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Very good.
And for the benefit of those in the audience, this will go to City Council. We're planning March 31st workshop at 9 a.m. at City Offices. We'll present the recommendation of Leisure Services, and then at the following business meeting of April 7th, I believe it is, will be the business meeting where they will vote on the funding during that meeting. So if any of you would want to attend either one of those or both of those meetings, you're welcome to do so.
Just repeat, there will be the workshop on the 31st and then the actual council meeting on the April
7th, the first Tuesday of April.
Okay.
And that April meeting is an evening meeting at 6:30.
Our event is April 7th.
Oh, okay.
We would love to give the city... I'm sorry, am I on?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
We would love to get the city, the city on our marketing materials and that sort of thing. That's going to be pretty difficult when the event is April 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything we can do about that? Or,
Because
that's what you want. You want
right.
your, that big seal up there on all our posters and stuff. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have some difficulty with that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but we didn't even expect the second round.
Right, yeah, no. We'll work something out, so I'll get in touch with you.
Thank you.
Now, we do have public participation later where we ask if anybody wants to speak on any matter. And you're welcome to stay the rest of the meeting, of course. But we have other business to take care of, but relax. I wish we had some hors d'oeuvres for you, but we don't. Next on the agenda is new business.
I was wondering what is the difference between new business and discussion by committee of matters not on the agenda? Just to know where to bring something new up.
Well, new business would be anything you would want, anything that comes up as a new item,
right.
I guess. And anything else would be basically anything else you want to ask that may not necessarily be an agenda item.
Questions rather than...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not my interpretation. Claudia, is there any other definition of new business?
No, that sounds good to me.
Right.
Okay.
Well, there is some business. I don't know if it falls under discussion by committee or new business, but actually it's old business. And today we were supposed to evaluate the cultural grants process, the forms, the workshops, and all that. We were going to do that the last meeting. Mary couldn't be present. Luann, you couldn't be present. We didn't have a real... we had a forum, but it wasn't enough to really discuss it at length for people who have been involved with it. Now we do. I don't think that should be tonight. I think it's just the way it happened. We're better off waiting for the May meeting, because through this process of just looking through these grants and getting more food for thought, that we could discuss it at our May 13th meeting. So I'm recommending that we move our discussion on evaluation of the cultural grants process to May 13th.
And in the meantime, Claudia will email out the application and the guidelines so you all can have a chance to review it and come back with any recommendations or suggestions that you may have at that time.
Right, because to do it tonight also with Joy and Stephanie here for the first time, now they can digest everything first.
Right. Well, and you don't want me to ask all of my questions right now.
Let's see.
You might be here a while.
What time does the voice come on? Okay, so let's go to discussion by committee on matters not on the agenda.
Okay. I had reviewed the website because I didn't see an email in my inbox about the latest programs, and I wanted to plan what I would attend this next 2 months. And I was looking at the events, and they were very short, and then I knew there was more going on, but I couldn't find it. So then I clicked around and found that there were programs listed separately. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if there could be a link from the events that are listed for the Parks and Rec to the program, so that if people read and think, oh, there's only three events going on, wow, this Parks and Rec department doesn't do much, that maybe they would then have a link to...
Yeah, we could ask.
To events or to programs, because there's so much going on, and they feel like events just as much as they are programs to me.
Yep.
But so I think somebody who's looking for something to go do with their child is probably not going to realize that, hey, there's two different lists you should be looking at.
Okay.
So that might be good. And then the other thing I noticed while I was running around on the website was that those wonderful senior games that I didn't get to attend this time, but I really want to next year, were still saying they were TBA September 2014. And I think it would be really lovely to have a description of what had happened in the 2014 game, since they, you know, were successful, you know, just the different events that there were, so that anybody who pops on that page realizes, wow, something did happen, and, oh, these were some great things, I'm sorry I missed it, and then a save the date for the next one, or the general time frame that it would be. So that was just a thought.
Yeah, all those pages are being updated. We actually just reactivated some of them because usually right after the event, they're taken off the website, and we want them left on the website with that, you know, more, you know, next year kind of thing.
Right.
So we're in the process of kind of getting them back up on the webpage and then revising that information so it's more applicable for looking at it now after the fact. So you'll see those changes. You know, we're not the ones that do them, so I can't say exactly when they'll be done, but you will see those changes.
Plus, we have a meeting very soon on a senior game, so it'll become more relevant.
Right. Wonderful. And the last thing I wanted to mention is that in the Birds of a Feather Fest, one of the complaints from some of the out-of-towners was that they didn't know where to turn for the parks. So I was wondering if there's any long-term plan for the parks to add signage, directional signage throughout the town. I know with all there's a lot of, you know, construction on Palm Coast Parkway. Is there any kind of thought for, you know, okay, here's a sign with the, you know, five things you can find in this area and directional to that park or whatever it is?
I don't We haven't talked about necessarily directing people from a highway to a park.
Mm-hmm.
The signage that we've been most, proactive on is for trails and directing people when they're
right,
on bikes.
Right, those are wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll bring it up and uh-huh. see if there's any thoughts to that. Mm-hmm. I could tell you, though, a lot of the, like, we have two signs coming down Palm Coast Parkway East heading in mm-hmm. our direction here.
Right.
One that says to Palm Coast Community Center and then yep. Palm Harbor. And even though I know they're there, I could tell you half the time I forget and yeah. go right by them and don't even see them.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always, you know, what's, you know,
user
the best
error.
Way. Yeah.
yeah.
And, you know, what, right. and honestly, what I found is you'll see the white sign out front. Probably you go by it every day mm-hmm. or, you know, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
But you very rarely see that white sign that says Palm Coast Community Center or
yeah.
whatever it says on mm-hmm. it, you know.
Right.
But when we've gone to the monument signs, the ones that are the brick and you know, with the name of the park on them, the response we've gotten from people that said, oh, I just found Frida Zambel Pool in Belterra Park, even though that facility has been there since the mid-70s,
wow.
because we've changed that sign and now it's just
right.
so visible and
it
kind of stands out. Mm-hmm. I mean, that has been the most effective in getting people, you know, there than I've seen anything else. And you know, I've seen that difference, so I could actually say that has worked. But I'll talk about directional signs and see if there's any plans or thoughts on doing anything like that. You know, so I'll keep you posted on that. So, but now you'll be all out looking for those white signs compared to the other ones and see
to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Well, I think for the festival, we'll provide them a map at the hotel, so we'll do some other
right.
things that'll address that problem. But I didn't know if that was in the capital plans for long term or anything. So.
My only comment is, Luann, you know where you're going. That's why you don't recognize the signs.
But you know what? I don't know why those white signs with the blue lettering on
yes.
them, it's, you drive right by them. They're not right. real, for whatever mm-hmm. reason,
yeah, but
even though they're white with this bright blue lettering. Mm-hmm. It doesn't catch your eye as much as those monument signs or those real night, you know. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. But I know it's not just me. It's other people because they've
yeah.
actually called.
Okay. Any other matters? I'm sorry, Joy. Go ahead.
I have a proposal that may seem simplistic, but actually is very simple. And I will disclose that 2 years ago I was on the front page of the Daytona paper, saying that this place was not for me. That I read the newspaper, and I couldn't find anything for Palm Coast. I found it for every place else. It was in the newspaper. And if I couldn't find it reading the newspaper, now, this may be stupid, because I'm not computer savvy, but it never occurred to me to look at a website. And what I'm recommending is that on the bottom of every paper, that a box, have you checked our website today?
Mm-hmm.
That Palm Coast, Daytona, because if you do that, all you do is the web. It's a lot easier to do that than to advertise in the paper.
Right, it is.
And so I'm wondering if we could do something like that, because, like I said, there's no senior center. You said, we have a senior center. I said, how do I know that? And people don't think to look on a website.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really love to find a way that we could, a big box, have you visited our website today.
Are the websites included on the flyers that the Parks and Rec? Okay, so they're on there.
Yeah, but
you're thinking
we all sit home and we don't go out. We don't pick things up.
Mm-hmm.
We sit and we read newspapers or the other paper, but, you know. So
yeah.
something that gets delivered or goes to more people.
Okay. Right.
Otherwise, I don't get anything.
Well,
I look in the paper.
Do you look in the Observer, the Palm Coast Observer? Do you get that at your home?
Well, I've just recently come back to Palm Coast.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I haven't, but I've looked through the Observer.
Uh-huh.
But I want a calendar.
Right.
I want a calendar of this city and what's going on. And
And all we have to do is put that, direct people to the website, and you've got a calendar. You know, it's Friday. What do you think we should do this weekend? Go to the website.
Right.
Well, we'll definitely look into that. And I don't know if you've seen it yet. That's why I'm asking. In the Observer, we do a column ad every Thursday.
Oh, okay.
That goes in order, date order of the upcoming events. So, and on there it has our website information and everything too. But it comes out on Thursdays, so hopefully you'll get it maybe tomorrow at your home.
Mm-hmm.
So look in there and see what you think of that.
Okay.
And then, you know, we'll kind of go from there. But that's something we do every week with different activities in there. We don't list everything in there because there's not a lot of space, but it'll give you some of the highlights of the events that we're doing and the web address that tells you where to go look for more information.
And I'm a little embarrassed because I was away for 3 years, and so I'm back.
Yay.
And I haven't. Well, we have to get the Observer because I live in a condo, so you have to go out and get it.
Okay. Well, we have it here. Oh, but not tomorrow's. So.
But anyway, I will have to
go
to a clubhouse a lot. But I'm a little embarrassed. But if we have it, we have it. What's going on every week, plus check our calendar.
I just wonder where we could do that. So I like the idea. It's just where would we put it that somebody like you would actually get it?
A billboard.
A billboard.
Instead of a sign where something is located, a billboard, check our website.
What about the water bill?
Oh.
No, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Like just
an insert or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
it could be a month long.
Isn't there a newsletter that comes with the water bill sometimes?
There is a newsletter. Yes. The Palm Coaster is what it's called that comes quarterly with your water bill. So that's when the envelope feels really thick. And in there, it'll have a bunch of different stuff. It's not just specific to parks and recreation. It'll have, you know, a message from our mayor. It'll have some other road projects maybe that are going on to update people. And then it'll have some of our events and activities. But also within there is the website, you know, but not that note to say, have you checked our website?
Yeah,
it just lists it.
One person pays the bills. Mm-hmm. And the kids don't, and the husband or the wife don't look at it.
Right.
And if people don't know, no matter how great you are, people don't know it's there. And I learned the hard way. You know, I'm back.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
And I'm glad to be back.
Well, and I think we just, you know, and that's our struggle, quite honestly, is how do we get the information to everybody? And it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Right.
But where is everybody looking for information? And that's where we struggle because you think, okay, website, or, you know, they come in here, or we put posters up at the grocery store, but you're still only capturing the people that are actually going to those locations.
Right.
And so how do we reach the masses? And so we're definitely open to any other suggestions that you might have to put information wherever we could put it. We'll be glad to bring over flyers for your clubhouse and leave them there for people to get. You know,
I
doubt it because we haven't asked. You know, seriously, I mean, that I never thought of that, quite honestly. So you just saying that right now is like, oh, we need to take some flyers wherever that might
be.
Or
even in school newspapers. Do school newspapers have school
They have newsletters, the schools, some of the individual schools, because we've looked into that as well. And you know, we've asked if we could, and they will, but it's, you know, only if they have space kind of thing, because they want to get their information out to their parents.
Right.
So, you know, if they have some space that they could put in an event, or something like that. I don't know how extensive it would be, but that's also a resource.
Maybe the trade-off would be if they're having an event, that it would go on the website.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Exactly.
So,
but we're, you know, I guess the bottom line is we're open to any suggestions you might have of where to put information, how to reach people. We want to hear those because we know that that's something that we struggle with. So we're trying different resources. We'll put ads in the Coffee News, that little, you know, one sheeter that goes to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or wherever that you just pick up. We'll do the Penny Saver occasionally, and we'll put ads in there, but we know we're still missing a bunch of people, so whatever you can offer
this,
will certainly
This may be a very simple suggestion, but you said it was a column ad. Mm-hmm. Maybe just changing the visual mm-hmm. to be across the page more than down. It would admittedly probably take up a little bit more space, mm-hmm. but if it were always on the same page and in a maybe in a mm-hmm. horizontal format rather than vertical,
yeah.
that may help.
Yeah.
Actually, that was my vision. I even saw it in red, but that's okay. We might have to pay money. But no, if it had a thick frame on it, have you checked our website?
Let me go get it and I'll show it because we have one here. I just want you to see what it is.
While we're waiting for Luann, I have one thing on Matt is not on the agenda, and that is, as on behalf of the committee, we want to welcome Joy and Stephanie
yes,
to our advisory council. And with that, to let you know what we expect, which is, I think I said earlier, just involvement, getting involved with Parks and Rec, getting out there to help with special events, getting out there to see the events, and then coming back and commenting. You comment on the website, those type mm-hmm. of things. Things that you witness, things that you hear. But also being present at, like I said, special events and other activities. Mm-hmm. That would be wonderful. And with that, I was wondering if maybe both of you could just say a couple of words about yourself and why you want to be on this committee. Joy?
Mm-hmm. I thought I really did give the answer. But mainly, I came to Palm Coast in the 90s to be an instructor at the Center for Management Development and was here for several years and then went to Tallahassee for 10 years and then finally came back 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Why I wanted to be on this committee is I don't believe anybody should complain unless they're willing to do something. And that goes for myself. And if I'm going to complain, if I see something that could be helpful, I should be willing to do something about it. And when I saw this committee, I said, well, that just sounds like something I would like to participate in.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Good.
Stephanie?
I'm Stephanie. I moved to Palm Coast originally in 1998, and I stayed here until 2003, at which time I went to New York for a while for a mm-hmm. job. But I was telling Joy earlier, I rented my house while I was gone mm-hmm. because I knew in that time that this had become home, mm-hmm. and I knew I would be back. And so I moved back in 2008, and in the fall, last October here, I had some life changes. I got married last year. We had a baby last year. I decided to kind of step back and evaluate how I really wanted to spend the second half of my career and life. Mm-hmm. And I decided to start my own business. I do leadership and communication training and development, and executive coaching, etc. Because it supports a personal mission that I have to just promote other people's success. Mm-hmm. And this committee and volunteering my time seems to go, you know, right in line with that purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to really fulfill not only my work life, but my personal life in the same manner. And that's what brought me to your committee.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both for that, and once again, welcome.
Thank you. And I have a question. Surprise.
Sure.
Where do I volunteer, you know, for the different programs and whatnot? Where do I, obviously I find them on the website, but who do I contact to volunteer to let know that I want to participate?
What we will do is we will contact HR, and I don't know if you two have gone through it yet, but you'll need to be background screened for a level 2 background check, and that's where you actually do the fingerprinting because we do a lot of stuff with kids.
My fingerprints don't come out. I've done this 3 times.
I know. And we have those challenges. But I know they do something else to do that. And then once you go through that process, then basically what we do is when there comes up a time for an event, like we have our egg hunt coming up, we know we're going to want and need volunteers. we'll reach out to you all a couple weeks beforehand and say, here's what's coming up. Are you available? Here's the time. What time are you able to attend?
Okay.
You know, if you're available. Is usually it. Or, you know, a lot of times, you know, the members will just come in and talk to Lauren or James or now Ginger, our event coordinator, and just kind of work it out with them of, you know, how involved you want to be. Because it's more than just the events. It's also the programs that we do here. We do a lot of kind of mommy and me type classes during the week. We have senior activities going on. I hate to say senior, adult activities going on during the daytime that, you know, if you wanted to volunteer and be involved with those, we have opportunities for that as well. So it's just a matter of how much you want to be involved, and then we'll, you know, get you involved as much as you want to be, and
okay,
as deep as you want to. So
someone will contact us about the background
check
and all this.
Claudia will get in touch with HR tomorrow and let them know that you two are new members and we need you to go through the level two. She'll send them your contact information, and then they will reach out from you. So you'll hear from somebody from our HR department,
okay,
and then they'll schedule a time for you to go in and, you know, do whatever you got to do for the background. So, and then once you clear through, then you'll be good to go in any of our events or activities.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other matters not on the agenda?
No.
Jules, you good?
Yeah, I have one. The Foundation for Arts and Entertainment is going to have the Jacksonville Symphony at the Town Center on April 19th. And it's a called Picnic and Pops. At 6:30, you bring your own picnic, and the show is actually going to be at 8:30. And anybody that doesn't know what the Foundation is, we're building a new performing arts center in Town Center. And first phase of that center, I'm glad to announce, is going to start in about 2 weeks.
Oh, great.
And anybody who wants to go, the tickets are $40 for non-members and $35 for members. And we get about 850 people there. So you'll have a good time, if it doesn't rain.
Did it rain last year or the year before?
The year before it
rained.
The
year before I remember it rained. Oof, that's tough. Thanks, Jules. Anybody else? How about a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Jules? Seconded? Mary?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Thank you very much, everybody. And